"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampo, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome, everybody. This being Friday, in 2 hours, we will roll out our moist line, friends. We do have some hacks for the dumpster today. It is based on the, I guess, the biggest California story of the week. You'll find out who they are and who goes in as we welcome our mob members to KFI and roll out the dirty dumpster for another dumpster toss. That's all coming up ahead. Oh, and we do have an update and an actual news story. The television station covered what we had talked about yesterday with one of our guests, Lucy Hahn. This particular story deals with the large RV encampment that's in Playa del Rey in an area called the Bolona Wetlands. There are as many as 60 RVs that have been parked there, basically vagrants who have some dirty, dingy old RV to live in, and they have been absolutely destroying the Bolona Wetlands. And Lucy told the story of taking a tour through there with a woman who's running to replace Mike Bonin and some other people. And one of the people who was walking through for the tour got attacked with porta-potty water.
Yeah. So, the little tanks at the bottom of the toilet. Well, yeah. this crazy homeless vagrant woman pulled out the tank and dumped the poop and pee water all over one of the another woman who's taking the tour.
So we'll play you the Fox 11 story where they were interviewed, the people that got attacked. Coming up in the next segment, we'll begin with more grim news on the inflation front. Food prices will be the focus of this report. We're going to talk now to Dave Packer from ABC News for KFI.
Dave, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Well, it looks like food prices are up double digits, and it's the Ukraine-Russia situation that's driving
it. Yeah, it's just a bad situation all around. I mean, already we were dealing with droughts, which had impacted food. And then, of course, inflation all around in the United States and worldwide, obviously. But, you know, particularly here, you know, we've had record inflation. And now this war in Ukraine has really just basically knocked out of commission a place that was producing a huge amount of food for the world, not just for Ukraine, but Ukraine's kind of like the Midwest for Europe and whole areas of like the Middle East and Africa and parts of Asia, and produces so much wheat and grain and corn and sunflower oil, which I didn't realize. We use A lot of it, not just for cooking vegetable oil, but it's used in processed foods. It's used in bakery cookies and cakes and everything like that. Ukraine produces 46% of the world's supply. Nearly half of the world's supply of sunflower oil comes from Ukraine. And then add to that, 23% of the world's supply comes from Russia. We're not exactly trading with them either right now. So all of a sudden, you've got nearly three-quarters of the world's sunflower oil, which, you know, is used in all kinds of foods, which is not available, which is just knocked out. So the question is, can, you know, the U.S., in terms of our supply here, can we, you know, can we compensate? Well, it would take a long time for farmers to ramp up. We do have, you know, extra surplus capacity, but you're not going to grow food overnight.
No. And so the whole food price index is in double digits now in terms
of
increase.
And it's just like oil. You know, you say, okay, well, this is in Ukraine. How does this affect us over here? For things like wheat, we grow our own wheat, we grow our own corn. But, you know, as supply goes down worldwide, these are global commodities and prices go up. So, you know, all that is directly relatable to what we pay at the checkout.
Seems like if 70% or 75% of the sunflower oil comes out of Ukraine and Russia, you're going to have a severe shortage. I mean, the ingredients are not going to be available for all those baking purposes.
And we'll be dealing with higher prices, but places, you know, over there, closer by, Africa, parts of Asia, will just be dealing with a shortage altogether where, you know, it won't be available. So, unless we want to have people starving in these parts of the world and create more instability, we're going to be called upon to, you know, produce more food and ship it overseas. And that will create less food for us to consume. And so, you know, even best case scenario, if this gets resolved in Ukraine overnight, tomorrow, it's still going to take a long time for Ukraine to come back online. You know, those farmers are out fighting. They're not farming. And, you know, how much of their land is still going to be part of Ukraine, or are those borders going to change? And that, will those farms be part of Russia?
And they can't use the ports to ship the grain out, even if they did grow it.
That's a huge problem, and it brings up another issue. A lot of the fertilizer that is used around the world, some here in the U.S., but certainly around the world, comes from areas around the Black Sea, and there's not much moving right now in the Black Sea, particularly around the coast around Ukraine. So that's affecting other areas that grow food, but not having access to that fertilizer.
So we're looking at food inflation is going to go up steadily, indefinitely, I guess?
I think what we're going to see is, I mean, we're going to see price into food prices, you know, it'll be priced in terms of what the current supply is and what the, you know, what they expect, you know, people who trade these things, what they expect to be, you know, down the road, 6 months or a year. And I think with them not seeing an end to this conflict in sight in Ukraine, I think we'll see. I don't know if the prices will continue to increase, but you're going to see a higher price for everything, and that will be the baseline until things change.
All right, Dave, thank you very much for that report. We appreciate it.
All right, have a great weekend.
All right.
It's Dave Packer, ABC News for KFI. On the effect on food prices worldwide and even here in the United States from the war between Ukraine and Russia, I have a headline for Deborah Mark that's really going to upset her.
Is it about avocados?
4 million dead chickens at a Ukrainian farm.
Oh, that's awful. Oh.
Yeah, Europe's largest poultry farm.
4 million?
Is on Ukraine's occupied Black Sea. They have lost almost 4 million chickens to thirst and starvation because of the war with Russia.
That is...
Plant manager, one of the only few people left, has to find a way to bury all the dead chickens and somehow disperse them because they're all just dying off.
Well, of thirst. What a terrible way to die.
That is so sad. We don't really think about the animals when we think about war. Obviously, we think about the people, the civilians that are getting killed. But look at what's going on.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
The facility typically exports about 1 billion eggs a year. So these weren't chickens that they slaughter. These are just ones where they take the eggs. But they can't care for them because of the war. There's too much disruption, and there's just no way to get all these eggs out. So they don't have anything to feed them, and they're starving, and or they're dying of thirst.
It's a lot of dead chickens.
That's a lot of dead chickens.
It's very sad. Very.
You take the birds, transport them, and bury them somewhere. That's all they're doing.
What do you think that smells like?
Well,
it's not about that, John. It's about the birds being, they died of starvation and thirst.
4 million dead chickens rotting in the sun?
Wow. Yeah. He's trying to protect the water supplies from contamination, but apparently Russian soldiers sometimes shoot at them. So
she's shaking her head. It's just the way my mind thinks. I just wondered what is that?
I'm sure it smells horrible, but that's not the point.
I understand.
All right. Well, that'll lead us into the next thing we're going to talk about. What smells worse, dead chickens or poop water? Because we have this story of a woman that got attacked with porta potty water. And I would say water that's been, you know, contaminated when she was trying to tour this horrible RV park that they've set up there in the Bologna wetlands. Coming up next.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Guess what?
What?
Tiger's alive. He's likely to make the cut.
Wow.
How about that?
That's exciting.
That's the last word I'm getting here. He's one over for the tournament, and it may be good enough to make the cut and continue to play Saturday and Sunday.
I think they amputated the leg, so he's got a lot less pain.
Tied for 19th.
Yeah, and what's the cut?
Minus 30? Four or plus four still.
Oh, all right, so he's one over. Oh, he's then a good chance. Well, he must be near the end here, right?
Yeah, he was at 16. Yeah, he's on the 17th hole. He just teed off.
The ratings yesterday for the first round on ESPN were up 21% over last year, almost 3 million people. And that's like a Thursday during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can see the effect. A lot of people working hard on the numbers. Well, especially people working from home. Just put it on in the corner and glance over it every now and then. All right, we're going to play you a story from Fox 11 News. It came up on the show yesterday. We had a guest by the name of Lucy Hahn. She's with a nonprofit that's trying to do something about all the the RVs that are lined up at the Bologna Wetlands in Playa del Rey. The story yesterday is that the Los Angeles City Council has voted to go back to enforcing parking restrictions on vehicles. And that would include, of course, the RVs, although with the rules that accompany this, we're not so sure. That you have to make sure no one's living in the RV. And if they're living in the RV, then they told that they just have to move or we'll bring in homeless services to help them.
Every time we just set up the story, impossible for me to believe that the city council and the mayor let this go on for 2 years, fouling the wetlands. That knocks me out.
It is hard to believe.
And so now this is the woman who got poo water dumped on her.
Yeah, so when Lucy was on the show yesterday, she told the story of how she went along with a woman that's trying to replace Mike Bonin on the Los Angeles City Council. That's Tracy Park. But there was a couple of other people on this tour of the Bologna wetlands and all this disgust that's being called. And by the way, this is a 600-acre ecological reserve. Here is the report, because apparently there was an attack by a person who was believed to be homeless. This is the report from Haley Winslow from Fox 11.
Though April Fool's Day, it was far from funny.
It was humiliating and embarrassing, but I feel like I took one for the team because everybody got to see that this is just another day in Playa del Rey.
This Playa del Rey woman, who doesn't want to use her name, met community leaders and other residents at the Bologna Wetlands in hopes of finally cleaning it up. Along with a foul stench, Jefferson Boulevard is littered with broken down homeless RVs, trash and needles, and much of it on protected land.
The Gabrielino Keech tribe want the vehicle dwellers to leave. They are defecating, they're peeing, they're pooping on their ancestral burial grounds.
To try to help, mayoral candidate Joe Buscaino put in this porta potty. But after the community meeting,
we turned to go to our cars, and this vehicle dweller, she came out of nowhere, really, and she had had a bucket of porta potty water that she threw, and I was in the line of fire, so I got blanketed in porta potty water and toilet paper and feces and urine.
It's one of many growing problems down at the wetlands.
There's human trafficking, sex trafficking. There's an RV meth lab. There's a 5-acre fire where the firemen couldn't get to the fire hydrant because a vehicle dweller was disabled and blocking the access to the hydrant. There's also been a four-person shooting down by the wetlands, as well as the vehicle dwellers are shooting into the bluffs above and breaking people's windows on their homes. The LAPD has been called out over 100 times last year to address crime in the area.
Along with Buscaino, resident Sarah Kay watched the feces porta potty incident unfold.
It's one thing if we were being asked to sacrifice our public spaces, our safety, our quality of life, our sanitation, if we felt that we were really helping people and that we needed to all come together, put in the work and put in the sacrifices to give real help to people. But this is not helping anybody. The people who are living in these encampments are not able to get sober, they're not able to get stable, and they're not able to bring their lives together. So why are we allowing this? Why are the activists and the politicians fighting to keep people languishing in this suffering just so that they can feel good about what they've said and what they've done?
On Thursday, City Council voted to resume parking enforcement next month that was suspended during COVID for oversized vehicles that are disabled or unregistered or pose a traffic or environmental hazard like these do.
The question is, where will these people go? Oftentimes we see these homeless encampments cleaned out, but instead of fixing the problem, oftentimes like a chessboard, they simply move to another part of town.
So what? Keep harassing them. Keep moving them. Do not quit until they leave California and go back to, in many cases, where they're from.
People
with their
have
license
to,
plates on their RVs that indicate that.
People have to stop asking that question, where do they go? There's no answer to that.
Oh, and they always like to add, they're just shuffled around to another neighborhood.
Well, then that's the job of the next neighborhood to chase them further afield.
You got to keep doing it.
Because
they're chased into Mexico or Nevada.
Do you understand? I mean, somebody in that report said about how the homeless activists and the politicians are constantly talking about what we have to do to help these people. You do understand that they don't care about these people. They really don't. And it's all their talk is a distraction to make you feel guilty. So you keep sending them more tax money or more donations because you feel bad that society has failed these people. Society did not fail these people. We are not responsible for people wandering in from all over the country with their meth habits, heroin habits, their family dysfunction, their mental illness. We're not responsible. This idea that society has failed these people, we must do something. No, we don't have to do anything. They don't respect themselves. They're not willing to make changes in their life. They're not willing to go to work. We're not going to be burdened with everybody else's problems when they have the choice. And we've given the money. And I'm telling you, all these nonprofits, these activists, the politicians, they know it doesn't work. They don't care that it doesn't work. But they're getting rich off it. The people working in these nonprofits are making really good salaries. They have secure jobs, and they don't actually have to accomplish anything. They know what they're doing. You're being foolish by going, I don't understand. Why aren't people being helped? Because the people who run the infrastructure, the homeless infrastructure, don't want to help them. They don't. They want to take the tax money and the donations. They have fat, happy lives. You're being duped.
Well, you know, we're in a situation where if the help is refused, then so what? And we're finding out more and more that most of these vagrants, particularly the ones we're stuck with now, they don't want to go anywhere where there's any kind of rules. They do want to live off the grid because they want to enjoy their life of drugs and alcohol and just acting like a hippie in the woods. Well, you can't have that in people's neighborhoods. So, as John likes to say, go find that desert.
Yeah.
Go down there. What's that place called that we always...
The Salton Sea.
Yeah.
Slab City.
Slab City, that's it. Slab City is a place where apparently people live that kind of life, and it's far from everybody else, so who cares? Go there.
I just put them on buses and give them a one-way fare to Slab City. out in the desert. That's where these people belong, and they can join that community. There's already plenty of people out there.
Apparently, there's no rules there. There's no government. People can do what they want. You go join them, but you're far from us, and that's all that's important.
Stop feeling sorry for these people.
How come this woman wasn't arrested who threw the porta potty water? That's assault. Do you realize how sick you could get from being hit by feces and urine?
That could be deadly. You could get E. coli.
It's like being licked by Deborah Mark's dog.
Oh, yeah. I told my family about that. Everybody was thrilled about that story yesterday.
Yeah. Did you let the dog in your bed last night?
I did, but I didn't get any licks.
Yeah, but how long is that going to hold out?
Oh, trust me. No more licks. I had a conversation with them. We're all on the same page.
All right.
Oh, she had a conversation with the dogs.
Yes.
They understand.
Yes, they do. I said, Mommy will get very sick.
they felt really sad.
They did. Yeah. They don't want me to be sick. They're nice dogs.
All right. They lowered their tails and walked away. John and Ken Show. John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Shampo. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
We'll give you the updates on Ukraine-Russia in a moment, including a vicious train attack that may have killed at least 52 people that were trying to flee that eastern region of Ukraine that's under heavy Russian fire. This is a good story. An NPR reporter, that would be National Public Radio, called out her own newsroom for claiming the Hunter Biden laptop story wasn't a real story. Laura Sullivan, who apparently has received a number of awards and is believed to be one of the leading reporters in that field, tweeted out that newsroom editors called it not a real story. The Hunter Biden laptop investigation could end up being a tax case or a hell of beans or something else, but what it's always been is a story. And I'll read you what NPR put out at the time. This is back in 2020 when the New York Post broke the story about Hunter Biden's laptop and some of the emails that were on there. At the time, the NPR public editor was quoted as saying, "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories, and we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions." That's what they said at the time. And of course, this was followed by outfits like the Washington Post and the New York Times and that nonsense about it being a Russian disinformation campaign.
Yeah.
Because it was right before the 2020 election, and they all just decided to ignore it.
What does it tell you that there were 51 intelligence agents who all signed this paper saying it was likely Russian disinformation?
Yeah.
And that all the media outlets published the contents of that letter with the 51 signatures and used that as the shield, saying, look, we're not going to cover this story. Look at all these experts here. And all these experts were aligned because all these experts were terrified of Trump getting reelected. And so were all the alleged journalists. They were also trying to fight off a Trump reelection. So it was in everyone's best interest to pretend that the story wasn't even a story. This is how the powerful groupthink and how threatening Trump was to them.
And remember, what's the companion story to that? They seized on the Russian dossier. Remember that?
Yes.
Wanting that to be legitimate. Right? That was not dismissed as a disinformation campaign. That was seized on and reported on over and over again.
So the truth was presented as a lie, and a lie was presented as truth.
That's how it went for a while.
Everybody in the CIA and the FBI went along with both of those schemes, and almost everybody in the media went along with both of those schemes. And they would police each other. Most people wouldn't know this, but most journalists are on Twitter. And if one journalist steps out of line and would say something questioning the Russian dossier story, for example, or questioning why is the Hunter Biden story being suppressed, they would get blasted by all the other journalists. There was a tremendous amount of peer pressure to keep each other in line. Everyone was heavily invested in stopping Trump's second term and the first term. And you have to ask yourself why. Why was he such a threat to them? What were they afraid of him doing? Right? I mean, because most of us were voting on whatever issues we find important in life, right? But what was that crowd in Washington and those journalists who were running cover for them? What was the threat to them? Because Trump always said, you know, there's a deep state. It does seem like there is some kind of deep state. There is some kind of permanent government.
Yeah, he was a threat to everything they held dear.
I know
several people, they're not journalists, that hated Trump. And that's all they could talk about to me was Trump and whatever was going on in the world, whether it was North Korea, whatever, when Trump was president. And now they're like silent.
Yeah.
They don't seem to care anymore because Biden's president. And I guess to them, everything's safe now. I can back down.
Right.
They seem to have no interest in all the stories. And I'm like, I tried to bring up Ukraine. It was like kind of a shrug.
Yeah. Well,
it's remarkable.
Well, because
what the brain can do.
Yeah. Well, most people have defective brains. They really do. they absolutely do. They were emotionally invested, you know, into hating the Trump monster. And it blinded them to whatever good was going on with his policies. And now having him out of the picture has blinded them to all the terrible things that are going on under Biden.
They don't want anything negative to come back in case Trump runs again.
Oh, we can't
hurt this administration.
And he's going to run again. And the polling right now, not that it means much, is in his favor. When you put him up against Biden or Harris. And so it's going to start all over again. We're going to be besieged with false stories and ignored stories. Because everyone is now either dishonest or crazy in the media and in government. 51 CIA agents, and the New York Post called all 51. And virtually none of them apologized or corrected themselves. Most of them didn't answer the phone. Didn't respond to an email. I find this fascinating. In fact, I've saved the story on my phone, and I glance at it every once in a while because it kind of bugs me. It's like, this means something here. 51 people in the government and related to the government, and they all agreed on something, and it was completely wrong. It was wrong at the time. It was wrong now, and they don't want to own up to it. Why? Why? When that answer comes out, it's going to reveal a lot about what goes on in media and in Washington. And I think it's ugly.
Today in Ukraine, there was a Russian missile attack at a train station. This is probably the biggest story that killed at least 52 people. And injured more than 100. They were trying to flee this eastern Donbass region where they were actually told by the Ukrainian president, get out of there because that's where Russia is going to concentrate on its offensive. Around 4,000 people gathered at the train station waiting for evacuation. And this missile came flying in and struck the station. And as I mentioned, killed at least 52 people. Now for the horror that, dominates the John Cobalt household, there's an update. Apparently, Vladimir Putin was spotted at the funeral for one of his fellow politicians. And right behind him was an aide carrying the nuclear football.
See?
There it is, John.
What'd I tell you?
The briefcase that can launch a nuclear attack remotely was right behind Putin because it, you know, like, especially during this time of war, it would be wise to follow him everywhere.
Which means
to make a quick decision.
You have an insane person with the nuclear codes 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And who knows what sets him off? Look what he's done already. I mean, I think people are getting a little burned out on Ukraine and they're getting used to the daily violence. Like today, 52 people get killed at the train station. I mean, I heard
civilians.
I heard the audio of the people screaming and crying and wailing right after it happened. And it's chilling and it's hideous. And I was thinking, I wonder how many people have turned this off, have backed away. They can't look at another picture and another headline because it is. It's too overwhelming, right? And I understand that. You can't really immerse yourself in other people's tragedies all the time. But as every day goes by, then that leads to more and more disinterest. People shy away. They lose track of the story. They start caring less.
After five or six weeks,
you
can kind of understand that people have kind of moved on to other big events.
Right. And then I just heard this screaming going on in this audio today. It's like, oh my God, look what he's capable of doing every day. Every day something is happening like that. Every day, thousands and thousands of people, innocent civilians, not soldiers, have been snuffed out by Putin And he walks around with the ultimate bomb practically in his back pocket within inches of him. Yep. And if that guy could do what he's done, of course he can just decide. Tell Igor next to him, give me the bag. What's that number again?
And finally, one of the reasons that we're not seeing as much public protest inside Russia as we did in the first week or two when the war began is that they passed a law. And the law prohibits referrals to the military campaign in Ukraine as a war or an invasion. And mass arrests of protesters have largely eliminated all visible signs of dissent within Russia. There are also a large number of Russians who opposed to the war who just left the country. So that story also has completely disappeared, and it looks like Putin did a good job crushing it just by... Oh, and the last thing, a brand new poll has come out. It is from state-run Russian media, and it shows an 82% approval rating for Putin.
No kidding.
Take that, Biden. Wait,
Putin's poll shows that he's really popular.
82%. He was at 67% before he ordered troops into Ukraine.
He's twice as popular as Biden is here.
There you go. He's on top of the world.
Right. State-run poll.
We got more coming up.
John and Ked, KFI. John and Ked Show, John Cobell, Ken Chiampeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, they're finally starting to crack down on people who threw a fit on the airplanes over the mask rules. We'll talk to Alex Stone for a full report on this, including one large fine that was levied on one of these people. That's coming up at 4:05. Don't forget, we'll have the Moist Line. We'll have Hacks for the Dumpster. It's a full Friday show here on KFI. Well, I pause now because this is probably the worst story to come along in a while for the animal lover.
All right, hit me.
Well, first of all, the South China Morning Post. I sometimes have doubts about stories come from there. This was picked up by National Review. And allegedly, there's a response from the Chinese government, which seems to make the story legitimate. That being said, I hope it didn't happen. In the region of Shanghai in China, they've been having quite a COVID outbreak. A lot of people are not following this anymore because it's gotten really kind of dull and like background buzz.
But they have lockdowns again there.
They do. They have tremendous lockdowns going on in Shanghai. In fact, a family tested positive for COVID in Shanghai, and they were told they'll have to be taken to a COVID quarantine facility. But they had one problem. What did we do with our pet corgi? A little dog.
They couldn't
Unsure,
bring it?
They cannot bring it. They were not allowed.
It gets worse.
So the debate was, should we leave it inside the house where it might starve, or let it out and hope it would survive on its own and we can return? They chose to leave it outside.
Oh, no. Okay, they don't have a single family member or friend that could have taken the dog. I don't want to hear it.
No, wait.
Well, you're going to hear it because unless you turn off your headphones. Well, as the van pulled away with the family inside, the corgi started to chase it.
I knew you were going to say that.
Wait, there's more.
So eventually, John, come on, stop acting like you're excited to hear this part.
He is.
I'm trying to keep her focused here.
The person identified as a gate guard for the complex where the family lived caught up with the dog and killed it.
Why? Why would you?
Smashing it three times with a spade.
Oh, my God.
With a garden tool. Yeah.
Beat the dog to death.
What?
The dog's pain cries could be heard in the video.
Oh, no, Ken. That's not necessary.
Taken by a resident who was yelling out, "It's too cruel." The story has been an outcry all over China. The government said that they're willing to compensate the family for the loss.
Oh, that's so sweet of them. There's no compensation.
They're going to write them a check.
That's not compensation for what happened to the dog. That is okay, I hope that somebody goes and smacks that guard. Puts him out of his misery.
With a spade.
Yes.
I'd spade him to death.
Yeah, absolutely.
Death penalty. Look at that. She's for the death penalty for a dog killer. I'm with you.
There was no reason for this.
It's
at all.
Terribly vicious.
And I don't understand, this is not the family's fault, but I don't understand why they couldn't come up with somebody that would take the dog while they were away.
Well,
come on, people.
The Chinese government is really aggressive when they decide you have to flee. I think they're yelling at you, and you've got to go immediately.
Oh, you got to go immediately because you're contagious.
You don't have,
All right, okay, I get that.
All right, another big story today is a bit of a surprise. A jury acquitted two men of all charges in that plot to kidnap the Michigan governor. Remember that story from 2020? And what a surly...
Their mugshots are everybody fantastic. Could see the four mugshots.
The four guys.
Boy, I mean,
guy without facial hair just looks dumb. That's the only thing I could say from... But the rest of them have their head shapes, besides the beards and the... And
one of them's bald with a wild, thick beard.
Yeah.
One of them has a Hitler mustache.
Yeah, he's the one that has the look of dumb.
But the look of dumb.
And the last guy's got like the hoop earrings or something hanging down off his ears.
Or those deformed ears.
One of those beards that's like scraggly. It's got separated parts to it.
They look so inbred and so stupid, like dangerously, psychotically stupid.
Well, they acquitted two and they hung on the other two. So it's a question of whether or not the government's going to try to retry the other two. The younger guys were acquitted. The older guys, the jury couldn't reach verdicts.
That is really bad genetics on all four counts. I mean, they have to do something about all four genetic lines. That has to come to an end there. I really would insist on all four get castrated.
Yeah,
Further reproduction from this line. Look at those eyes. All four eyes.
It's pretty scary.
Something has to be done.
I didn't follow this trial. It was a 10-count indictment, so I don't know specifically what the evidence was that this jury thought wasn't strong enough.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just didn't like the governor. I don't know, but
yeah, you wonder. You wonder if it's more about the jury.
All right, when we return, Alex Stone will be here. The FAA has levied the largest fines ever against some of those people that threw fits on the airplanes over the mask rules. We'll talk about it next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1-pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.